Ladies and gentlemen, it is 6:30. I'm going to call this meeting to order. The first item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance. It's led tonight by Councilmember Dahl.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out. It's nice to see a full house. Last time we had nobody in attendance. So apparently we have cooler stuff going on tonight. Good to see some people take part, though, as always. Next up, we have a public hearing. First is the request for a variance to allow change of use of an existing accessory structure, garage, to a primary structure, a single-family residence. And officer, zoning officer Zach Pattis will handle the information on this.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. This is a zoning request for 215 East Clinton. It's kind of a little bit of an unusual one, and so I felt it was we needed to bring this to the council and have you guys weigh in on this decision. It's kind of a little bit of a, I guess, a gray area in the regulations, and I didn't feel like it was appropriate for me to make a decision on this, so we brought it to you guys. The existing lot is a non-conforming lot. It's less than 7,500 square feet. There's an existing garage on the parcel that is considered an accessory structure, so a two-car garage. It doesn't currently meet the side yard setback requirements for accessory structure. So it's basically a non-conforming structure on a non-conforming lot. So this request is to change the use of that existing structure to a single-family residential dwelling unit. Setbacks required for a single-family dwelling are 10 feet on the side and 15 feet on the rear. And that structure would not meet either one of those. And so this variance is essentially just bringing this forward to you guys for the change of use to allow a single-family residence to be less than the required site yard or setbacks. I went through all of the zoning criteria requirements. There are three of them. We didn't see any issues with any of those criteria for the change of use to a residential dwelling. They would obviously have to, get building permits and all of those same requirements. This is just the first step. Once they get this, they'll issue a zoning permit. And then they will have to go through the process of building permits. I like to call them building permits. So just to keep it short and sweet, so it looks like we've got a packed house tonight. We recommend approval of the variances for the side yard and rear yard setback to allow the change of use to a single family residence. And the applicant is here for questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Yep. At this point, I'd like to hear the public in regards to the zoning variance request. Is there any public comment on this? Go ahead, bud. How are you, Troy?
Troy Manus. I would like to ask for your consideration of approval of the variance for 215 East Clinton Street. It is owned by the Manus family. And we are wanted to make that change. It'll fit in with the neighborhood and also increase tax revenue protection. Currently the accessory structure doesn't generate a whole lot of tax base. And it'll help clean up that part in there for a little bit too. So thank you for your consideration. Look forward to vote.
Thank you, Trey. Is there any other public comment regarding the zoning variance request? Seeing no further public comment, Council, I'll turn it over to you.
I had a couple questions.
You bet.
And just reading through, trying to make sure that I understand correctly, there will be completely separate water, sewer, hookup, shutoff.
It's a requirement.
And then with that, there will be a development fee as well?
Correct.
Okay. And then with SB 532 that passed, I don't know if this was before or through the bill, but we can't require extra parking. Is that correct? We can
For
require
ADUs,
one
I'm not sure
additional.
park requirement of ADUs. Pete, you got any
The one parking spot per dwelling unit
right
for so
and since it's just street parking, that is
the
open to
whole
interpretation.
the entire back lot looks like it's parking. I think it would probably
Yeah, they'll
suffice
have a
to park.
driveway
It's a
from
former
the
garage with
street.
an unpaved
That
driveway too.
driveway is counted as off-street
Yeah,
parking.
so all
Okay.
that would be two student
But it
garages
counts
too.
for both dwellings. We
Yes.
don't have to require addition.
They're not
Correct.
subdividing it. It's an accessory dwelling unit, so yeah, suffice.
Yeah, just be one. They'd be converting it to one single family dwelling. So it's just one parking space. Those are my questions.
Yeah, it would be subject to things you mentioned as well, building permits and all that stuff. It basically you're just standing zoning, so it's allowed to become a single family dwelling for tax purposes and obviously for him to live.
The one thing I see out of all this is probably 75 to 80%, maybe even more, of our accessory structures in Old Town are non-conforming. I mean, they're on the alley there. We will probably, if this is okayed, it will probably, it's pretty hard to turn down somebody else when we have okayed one already. So just something to keep in mind.
The unfortunate thing is it's not just accessory units. Some of our
Houses.
physical homes,
The
are
physical,
lot,
yeah,
a lot of the
exactly.
lots are non-conforming, as Jeremy
Yeah.
mentioned. So,
But I agree with you, Don. I can see that. I think that the housing is needed, and this is a good way to do it. And still making sure we're catching the development fees, that there's separate billing for things that work. But I agree with you that it opens potential.
I mean, I see it as a plus, but it's just something I think we should keep in mind.
I
You
would
still
add
have
that.
the ability to look at each one on its own merits if they come close.
We
Oh,
do,
yeah.
but we've already approved one.
Yeah, this one though I think is unique because it doesn't have a residence on it already. Whereas if we had another one come in and it already had a residence and they were trying to convert a garage on site, now you're looking at an ADU or a your another dwelling lot. So I think it's a different situation. But yeah, it's a possibility.
Was there a home on this lot?
No,
No,
never.
it's a lot of
Never was.
garage. Yeah.
So it was a vacant lot for
There's a map,
years
isn't
and
there?
years and years, until about 1980 or 1995, when the current strike was placed on that.
Doesn't have it on the map, but you can read the cadastral with the stuff on
Oh,
it there.
sorry.
Read the
No,
back.
please ask
So
me
step back.
what's script up first, and then I'll break that down in the video real quick, and then.
The setbacks are set in zoning. There's some building code standards, fire standard codes. 4 feet, I think we're okay. They're still going to have to meet, again, building standard for that structure to make sure the footings are good for an insulated structure. This is the only structure on the parcel. We are coming to the point in the city of East Helena where access to equivalent dwelling units, the number of connections to our sewer plant has become a value a limited resource. There's currently 89 EDUs available, which you can get talk to the engineers and we'll get a long conversation about what the flows look like for one of those. But when we start adding EDUs, this is why we capture those through those development fees. So this would be subject to that. Any other applicant who's seeking to continue to develop or add an ADU to their parcel is one going to have a separate service line for both water and sewer, and also have to pay those fees. So,
And this structure currently doesn't have sewer or water to it, correct?
it does not.
Okay, so it would be an
So,
additional fee.
yeah, the development fees we have
Yep.
in the lights place.
Thank you. Any other comment, Council? I'd entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve.
I have a motion to approve the variance request.
I'll second it.
And second, all those in favor?
Aye.
3-0. Variance request is approved. All right, that brings us to the public comment portion. This is the portion for public comment on all non-agenda items. This is for items not on the agenda. If you have some comment on further items that are on the agenda later on, please hold them till that item is up. But if you have something to comment on the non-agenda items, now is the time. Jacob.
So Mayor, council members, Jacob Coons, Helen Area Habitat for Humanity. I see that you each got an invitation to home dedications. Highland Meadows, we're dedicating six more houses in Highland Meadows. Homeowners been working for a year, built not only their homes, but the homes of their neighbors. They've each put in 1,000 hours of sweat equity, over 6,000 hours of sweat equity. And we'd love for you to attend, or anybody's here who'd like to come and be a part of that celebration. 16 homeowners on that cul-de-sac, 12 homes that we've built. There's 19 children in those homes. So good addition to East Talent. They're excited to put in individual homes. So, well, welcome.
Add on to Jacob's point there. Me and Wes attended the last one. You get to see it come full circle there. You really get to see the joy in the family's eyes to get the keys. It's a cool opportunity. So if it's one of you guys are interested, that's an opportunity for you. It's definitely a cool opportunity. I would suggest to us. Thank you, Jacob.
Yeah.
Any further public comment on non-agenda items? Seeing none. All right. In front of you have the approval for the minutes of the June 17th, 2025 minutes. Is there any public comment on those minutes? Seeing none, council.
I'm going to approve.
I have a motion to approve as presented.
Seconded.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
I feel like we're short some eyes there. all right. Moving on. We don't have a court report. That brings us to the department reports. First up is Amy, as always.
We are wrapping up fiscal year 25. This is fiscal new year for fiscal year 26. Public Works put up the Star of David windows out in this doorway and redid the foliage around the windows. So if you get a chance, stop by. They're really pretty up here. And I'll ask you closer to Jacob's event, but if more of you want to go, I'll notice it so that there won't be a court issue.
I'll be out of town, so there, unless Suzanne.
I will probably go. Yes, he's
poison. Jacob's event?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I fully intend to go and listen to candles, but that was one of the coolest things. I'll go every time I can do hospitality.
Maybe a notice, just.
Yeah. I'm like a bean. But... What are we doing today? Tuesday, but it's in the morning. It's like a.
9 a.m.
Yeah,
lasts less than an hour.
Yeah, and it, again,
give
the opportunity to feel it.
Let's be honest. I think
let's just work with Jacob as your schedule becomes clearer, guys. That one. Anything else, James? Any questions for Amy? All right. Next up is the police department. We have Ed here. Chief Sanders has a medical thing going on right now, and we have deputy chiefs.
Good evening, everybody. So last month, East Helena Police Department conducted 344 calls for service. We created 12 new cases in June. The number of calls for service is down a little bit, but considering we've only had 2 to 2.5 officers covering 4 shifts, I think that number is pretty high. We're still a little low on staffing. Hopefully that changes tonight. But we're still very busy. I attended the monthly tow truck meeting last week, as well as the 9/11 advisory meeting. 9/11 advisory meeting is just each agency getting together, talking about 911 issues, dispatch issues. We've started this new CAD system, so we're still trying to iron out things that way. So it's all starting to come together. Officer Kyle Butler participated in field training officer school in Great Falls, 2 weeks ago, and he's attending firearms training next week here at Helena. So he's getting a lot of class time this summer. We were recently awarded a bronze plaque from Lexipol for 2024. Lexipol is our policy center. It's for excellence in policy management. This is the third year in a row that we've received that award. This Friday is 4th of July. Last year was quite the 4th of July for me. I think there was 21 or 22 calls for service last year with just me working. So we decided this year we're going to have two people out. So we'll have extra coverage. I think there were five fires, several fireworks complaints, a DOA, and all kinds of things happened last 4th of July. So we're going to try to plan for that a little bit. Next weekend is the annual rodeo. So we've requested to hire 8 reserve officers from the sheriff's office. I haven't been told the exact number what's coming, but I think it is probably 8, close to 8, 7 or 8. Roger knows. They will be sending one of their patrol supervisors this year to kind of help with their side of things, kind of have somebody in a leadership role from the sheriff's office. So that'll be nice to have somebody helping with them. And then we will have double coverage for all of our shifts for the rodeo. And other than that, it's been a pretty good one. Any questions? Chief says hello, and I think he's doing pretty well.
Thank you. Star of the show, as always, Kevin is up.
Chief, you guys coming out for the public works report? So many pages for this. I'll talk fast because I know that's not why you're here, but just a few quick things. Vortex is done with all the slip lining in town. We just have a few of the actual manhole vaults that they have to clean out, and it's some sort of special epoxy. I don't even want to know what it is, but something that sticks really good and seals up the vaults themselves. So they're working on that. Lewis, at the intersection of Lewis and Valley Drive, that project is slowly coming to an end. They just passed a pressure test this morning, actually. All residents are back on normal water. There's no temporary water there. That intersection and street will just be brought up to grade with road mix for probably a month and a half. I haven't gotten a time frame yet from Helena Sand, but they're going to come and do that, and also a few other paving projects that we have in town, because I don't want to pay those mobilization fees multiple times just to fix half a block here and half a block there. So my guys will just monitor the potholes with that road mix before school traffic starts up. The intersection will be fixed. And then lastly, we don't have a ton of information on it, but we were happy to see that we received the RAISE grant updated template for an agreement with Federal Highways. So we're working through that. So what that means is the good news is they didn't say we don't get the grant. We just have to start the application process over again. So if you remember, you have 4 years to complete the application process. On average, it takes 365 days. So we're starting that over. We'll have it turned in. My goal is in the next couple of weeks, we'll have it back to Gene Kaufman with Federal Highways. And my gut tells me we're at least 3 to 6 months probably before a response, but on average, it takes up to a year. So we're trying to go as fast as we can on that. But it's still there. It's moving ahead. We're going to fix Valley Drive. It'll be great. And other than that, do you have any questions in my report?
Okay, Jeff.
I'm going to sit down.
Got the roof fixed?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, and roof's fixed. Hasn't leaked yet. And it seems to have stopped our fly problem. So it's like a duper. We still have the roof at the pool to fix, but that's not causing nearly the damage it was here. But, yeah, they finished the roof up, and seems to be good. So ceiling tiles are back in, and hopefully it just takes
small. You know, it's all, yeah, all like clean and pretty. It's weird.
Yes.
You're going to jinx this. All right, next up, Volunteer Fire Department Chief Campbell.
Good evening, everyone. How much going on with the fire department? We just came through, got all of our budget stuff sent over to Kevin. It's been quite 6 years. Had a couple fires. One is on the land trust to the south of the new park over off of Highway 518. We did discover a little bit of an issue with access over there. We've talked to the land trust people. There's two bridges. One will not support fire apparatus at all.
It's only a 5,800 pound bridge. We do have access through what used to be the old warehouse road bridge that we get to the backside of the plant there. And it'll take us around into that property. So we do have access. They've given us that code for the gate, so we shouldn't have any issues with that. Again, it was a big tree. The nice police department came out. It'll just take care of that gentleman after he started the fire for us. So that should be about it. We're getting ready. We're gearing up for this weekend for 4th of July. Call volume we expect to go up. We haven't had a lot of moisture in the last few days. There's pretty high temperatures. The fire weather forecast seems to be hot and dry, so that could be an issue for us. We're working on tonight doing some prep stuff for Friday, Saturday, talking about the radio plan. Unfortunately, I will be out of town. I'll be in Lincoln, so I'm sure the guys and gals are all set with that. And just kind of cruising along.
So, thank you, Chief Campbell.
You guys are fine. I'm going to scoot out. I got to get the notifications. Thank you.
All right, that brings us to our first order of new business. The first order is a JFK Park land for new East Tonto Branch Library Building. We have several people, looks like, from the library group here come talk to us about it. This is an action item, so we do have a thing to discuss about the action. I'm going to let them handle it from here, and we'll break it down after that.
Mayor Harris, sirs, thank you for having us back. We're here last in February, and the council agreed to let us do a feasibility study on placing a library in JFK Park. That feasibility study is completed, and Jeff and Gretchen from Mosaic Architecture will talk about that feasibility study after Andrea and I talk about libraries here at East Helena. I just wanted to start by saying, do you remember the film Field of Dreams? The mantra from that movie was, if you build it, they will come. You know, I believe that the East Helena Library over the last three fiscal years has seen 30% growth in both materials checked out and the number of people who have come through the doors of our library on Main Street. That's pretty significant growth. That's way more growth than we experienced down at the Main Helena Library. So they're really busy, and we have run out of space. But you know that. We've already talked about that. I just wanted to say that public library is one of the only places in the community that is truly free and open to everyone. East Helena deserves first-class library building. The professional staff and curated collections of the existing library on Main Street are already first-class. We're all proud of the work Andrea and Emily have done in that building. Personally, I can't wait to see what that team can do in a beautiful new space, wherever that might be, or where we can accomplish that. I'm going to let Andrea do a little bragging about the East Helena programs and kind of the dreaming that she has been doing and that we have all been doing about program expansion and a new space.
Right. So we're in the middle of the summer library program right now, and our story times, of course, are bursting at the seams. We have 20 to 30 people coming, and in that small meeting room that I think has a capacity of 21. So we're bursting. It's wonderful. They love playing before and after, so the front of the library is just small. Children and their adults at that time knew. So that's been a lot of fun. We have a teen program coming up. It's a play building program that's after hours. And we have, I think, five or six people on the waiting list. So that is going to be very popular. And we are celebrating our 25th anniversary out here in East Helena. So we have things going on in Main Street Park, including a concert coming up in August by Dan Henry. And in this month, we're having a movie in the park. So lots of things going on. Bursting at the seams, as I said. We also don't have a designated teen space. And as John said, if you build it, they will come. That's kind of how teens are. If you have a space, they'll come to the library. If you don't, they definitely won't come, even if, you know, you have the space and they don't come anyway. If they come there and they see there's no space for them that's private, they're gone. They go across the street to the park. So having a new library would help us with that. Obviously, the story times, we need more space. We have to rearrange everything between reading a story and doing an activity. We just don't have the capacity. And then we're excited to be near a park if this all works out. We're near a park now, but you have to cross Main Street, and it's small. JFK is very large, and we can do all sorts of things out there. Some of my dreams are, you know, concerts in the park, doing a book club that walks through the park and does a chapter at a time. Working with the schools, we'll be closer to them. So anyway, if you have any questions for me, go on. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think Jeff is kind of right.
Hello, Mayor, members. Thanks for having us here. I'm Jeff with Mosaic Architecture. I'm going to give you a really quick summary of the feasibility study that we did. I know John sent you a larger packet. There's a lot of information there, so I'm going to assume you kind of went through that at least at some level. So I'm going to walk you. We got Bader and Flies here. I'll walk you through really quickly. So maybe go to the next one. So obviously, our intent is to integrate a library into the park. And tonight we're basically going to ask you to make a motion to let us go to the next phase, work with the staff. We have met with the city attorney, with the county attorney, and just starting to lay the groundwork and start those discussions. And we realize it's going to be, you know, fairly complicated, so we really wanted to get an approval from the council before we get too deep into those discussions. So that's the division, is to provide a community hub at the JFK Park. So obviously the park site, amazingly, it's only a few minutes walk from the existing library. It's also very close to both elementary schools in that part of town and pretty close to New High School as well. And most importantly, it links up to all the events in the park and the trails as well. So that park is really a terrific location for a community facility. That's one of the things that makes us really, really excited about it. So what we did, a couple of the big things that we looked at, one, we looked at the floodplain. Floodplain maps that are published online are estimated. And to get a final floodplain designation, you have to hire an engineer, and they do a lot of analysis of water flows and those sorts of things. So we did that. And what we found is the area we identified, which was the area of the tennis court, which I think everybody wants to get rid of the tennis court, is outside of the floodplain. What happens when you build close to a floodplain or wherever, you still have to be a minimum of 2 feet and oftentimes you're 3 feet above that floodplain level. So even if the flood exceeds your expectations, the building is still unaffected. So people say, oh, you're really close. Think, well, you're really close, but you give yourself plenty of freeboard. So even if, you know, waters were to exceed your 100-year flood, you design the building so there isn't any opportunity, unless it's, you know, massive, you know, maybe a 1,000-year event, I don't know. But with a regular event, even something that's more than you would anticipate, the building can still function and isn't damaged. So we did find out that we took a look at the site. There is a large sewer main that is quite old. We're not sure how that's going to be resolved yet. That's in the green, cutting across the north side of the that purple element is the proposed library. And then we also looked at, can we take that site and make the parking lot work better? Because part of this agreement would be that the library would rebuild that parking lot. And we found we can get about 100 cars in there. We're only getting about 70 now because of the ad hoc nature of the parking. You can create great flow, traffic flow through the parking lot. So there's not a lot, people kind of cross-cutting, and the parking spaces are very well defined. And we can easily provide sidewalks that connect everything, connect the library to the pool and to the sidewalks along the street. So there's kind of a concept plan. Again, there'd be a lot of work done on this. But we're able to fit our branch library in that space, and it's all west of the pool, saving all the property north of the pool for any future project that the city may have. So we're basically taking the tennis court, and then there's a little kind of a gravel area north of the tennis court that would be utilized by the branch library. So just to kind of get everybody a little more excited, we just start working on like how a plan might work and what kind of advantages it would have for this, the city and for the park. So we can see this library having a really nice south entry that would kind of overlook the parking lot. So the library would have some kind of visual control over the rest of the park and people coming and going, which would be nice. And then we could see putting the big community room right at the front, and it would open up to the park to the west. So you could have events along the trails, you could have runs, you could have car shows, who knows where it is, and they could all take advantage of that community room, and you'd be able to access that from the outside without even going through the library. Other community groups could have meetings there. The library has an open door policy for their meeting rooms. You sign up, you get to use it, as long as you're kind of first come, first served, so, which is an incredible asset. And then the service area would be kind of back on the northeast, and that would combine with the service area you already have for the pool building. So we would upgrade that area a little better access. Right now it's gravel, so there's some upgrades there as well. And then the kids area and the stacks and all those would open up to the west as well. And then tucked over in the corner, as Andrew said, a spot for teens, and they like to be a little bit alone. But so what this is, concept, it's going to change. But what it told us is if you put a library in this location, it could work really, really well. It could be great for the park, and it provided great, great public spaces for people to use in conjunction with the park, as well as for other community events. So again, it's just a concept, but it showed us that it works really, really well in that spot, even though it's tight. I mean, there are restrictions. It did happen to fit all the functions we had, and I think, as an example, as a comparison, right now, everything in this library is about four times the size of the existing library. To give you a sense of how much growth we're anticipating. So the meeting rooms are about four times the size, the collection's about four times the size, staff areas are about four times the size. So we're looking at about a 400% growth in this project. Excellent. Then there's the kind of the two things together. You can see on the left is how it fits on the site, and on the right is the conceptual plan. Again, things will change, they'll move around, but you can kind of see how this could integrate into the park, work really nicely with the parking lot, and provide a lot of connections, provide a really great new usable parking lot. Next slide. So I'm going to put these real quick. So we found a lot of examples of libraries in parks. This would be one. Next one. So cities have been doing this all over, and a lot of cities in Montana have done major library upgrades or new libraries. It's a partial list right there just in the last few years. So it's becoming a real important part of the communities. Next. And again, these are all just libraries that cities have done in parks, and you can kind of see how they just fit together. Now, the one on the left, you can kind of see that happening facing the trees in this park, where you have big wall of windows, and you have kind of a cascading series of steps down into the park, because we have to be up higher than the park because of the floodplain. So you could have something very similar to that view on the left. There's a better view of that particular building. A little bigger, but conceptually similar. And again, you can kind of just see how great a library space it makes, and how you'd be able to attract a lot of community members, kids, especially teenagers, into a building that looked like any of these buildings. I think, so we're looking at a building that's about 10 to 11,000 square feet to give you an idea. So it's a really major, major investment in the community. Next. So what we realized is it is complicated. And what we have liked the commission to approve is to direct your staff to start to work with the library, with the county, to form a final agreement, and that would involve a subdivision of the site. It would involve a sale or transfer of the property to the library. It would involve defining what the library is going to do in terms of the parking lot improvements and utility upgrades in exchange for utilizing that property. And then an agreement about who's responsible for what pieces of maintenance and operations and those sorts of things. So it gets into a lot of technical pieces. So we didn't think we wanted to drop a whole agreement on you, but we thought you will. It will obviously come back to you in one or two or three stages. It's hard to say. But if we could kind of have the approval to get staff, the zoning, certainly the attorney's office, kind of working with the library, start to define all of those parts to the agreement, and then we bring it back to the council at a future date for approval. So that's what we're asking for, and I'm here to answer technical questions on the feasibility. John's going to answer questions on how he sees the process going. But we thought it was a good interim step to update you on the feasibility, say it is feasible, it's like to move forward, and this would be a great next step.
Thank you. So just before we go to public comment here, because me and Pete did meet with the legal hash of the county attorney and representative of the library. That would be the best, right next step, was to get you guys to put the confidence in their mind that you guys are on board. And, you know, like the basic tenets of this are, you know, land transfer for parking lots, improvements, the entire parking lot that we struggle with now. And, you know, it doesn't affect, I think the key ingredient thing you say there, it doesn't affect all the land the city has to north there for a possible future shop or whatever we would like to do there. And just, you know, all the benefits that have been presented here, I think are just a great opportunity. I think this is a real big opportunity. It's kind of that's kind of the whole goal of moving forward, is to have us, you know, can work with Nico and hash out agreement. You guys are going to see it again. If they want to know, I think it's fair for the library folks to know that you guys are on board at this point with that, the basic structure of that deal. So at this point, I think it's important to open it up to public comment on this. Is there any public comment on this? Mr. Walter. Got the big guns out here.
Mary Harris, members of the East Town City Council, appreciate being here tonight. My name is Scott Walter. I am a trustee on the East Town School Board, and I probably serve as board chairman. I'm speaking to you tonight on behalf of myself alone, since no formal vote has been made by the board. However, I can say that not a majority, but all of my trustees would support this resolution. Anything that can come out of encouraging readership and the other services that libraries provide are going to be not only beneficial to our community, but they're extremely valuable to our students. The location that has been outlined so far is very conducive to especially two of our schools, but also to our high school as well. With some of the trails and things available there is some easier access there. So I believe that there's a potential for greater access for our children. And I would just say that I appreciate this opportunity. I hope for it to pass, and anything that the school district can do within its power to support this effort is let us know.
Thank you, Mr. Walter. Any further public comment?
Mayor and commissioners, my name is Callie Asham, and I'm with the Helena Area Chamber of Commerce. We, too, are here to support this motion and encourage you if it do pass. We will always support the Lewis and Clark Library and Andre, if you're out in East Helena, to create more third spaces, which is a place that you don't live or you don't work, but a place that you can play. And I think that they do an incredible job of creating those spaces and the opportunities it would provide for East Helena. I couldn't agree with John more. If you build it, they will come, and you guys are building it and people are coming. And so I think that this is an incredible opportunity to provide a great service to the community. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Mr. Riskman.
Mayor Harris, members of the council, my name is Dan Rispins, I'm superintendent of schools for the East Helena Public School System. I just want to echo what Chairman Walter said, that the school district is on board with this plan. We definitely, you know, we were instrumental in bringing the East Helena branch out to East Helena years ago when they actually operated in the library at East Valley Middle School. So that's how fast and far things have come over the years with the library. And we see, we've had an ongoing, very strong partnership with the library, sharing resources and information. Our teachers visit the library. So like Chairman Walters mentioned, proximity to some of our campuses is very beneficial to learning and to getting schools, are getting kids exposure to the printed word and other resources related to literacy. A number of our students visit the library after school hours and use that as a study space. So this location would actually probably be better for that than where the library is at now. So I anticipate more students would be actually visiting the library. And I just want you to know that the school district's on board and encourage your support for continuing the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rispels. Any further public comment? We'd like to note that all of the council members and I also received a written public comment from Marianne Dunwell, the Senator Representative now. Senator Dunwell and also echoed her support in this project. So just to put that on the record. And that was in writing, so we all received that either. Anything else? Anybody online? Is there any public comment online?
With the fan running, we're having a tough time hearing.
Turn it off. It's fit power. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Kevin will have it. It's getting warm in here. Yeah, but it.
Is it going to turn into be about 100 degrees? We'll
try to thread the needle here a little bit on this one. Yeah. It does get warm. We'll see how.
Thank you.
We might have some visions, but. We'll...
The reason this is an action item before you is because there are substantial steps that are going to be taken, meaning we're going to start expending time and resources developing a plan to actually transfer this property and move forward in this process. So we wanted to bring it back before you to get a firm. We're not voting to transfer it at this time, but we are asking that we take a vote that yes, this is the location we think is appropriate for this community facility to go into. You've seen through the packet, if you've gone through it, there was a couple different options. This through the meetings was kind of identified as the location that made the most sense as far as accessibility and putting it right up against the tree bank there, the park. And while maintaining the park space we currently have and that northern portion, which we've had former discussions on that the city would like to retain for future development. So what we're asking for here is, so we actually, this is what the meeting was about that we had prior was for what we would actually be requesting for the city of East Helena staff to continue working with the Lewis and Clark Library in order to facilitate the transfer of a portion of JFK Parkland, which we see here, to be used as the new library branch for the Lewis and Clark Library to serve as the residents of East Helena, to serve the residents of East Helena. So you can imagine we're going to have to do surveys. We're going to have to spend some funds and some resources in order to move this thing forward. So we just want a vote that firmly says, yes, the council confirms that this is at this point agreeable. What the statute allows is that we can lease, we can donate, we can transfer this portion of property, and this is what we're contemplating, is a transfer of this land to the county library for the use. We did discuss a reversionary clause within there that if it ever ceases to be used as a library, it would revert back to the city, which is fairly typical. I doubt it ever would be, but you never know 100 years from now if they want to put a detention center there. That may not be something we'd be looking for. And these things last forever, which I've learned in local government, you will find things. So anyway, like a very just benign, if you stop using it for a library, it comes back to the city. But generally, the intent is to transfer it to the Lewis and Clark Library so that they will have it fee simple. So they're going to go through the subdivision process. They will improve the parking lot. That's the other big portion of this, is that parking lot's been a major issue for us, just when you talk about us trying to pave a street, let alone a parking lot. And like he said, right now it's maybe 60, 70, and they're going to get it up to 100 parking spaces with improved, you know, ADA access and sidewalks and things, and curb and gutter. Like it's going to be a much better facility. But those are the two major issues. But this will be a transfer of that. So That's it as far as legalese.
Any public comment online? I wanted to make sure we didn't, if there is something to address that. Seeing none, council will turn over to you. I won't be voting on this probably, but well, you know where I stand.
I would like a quick explanation of who pays for the building. Is that go on county taxes or how is that funded?
You, so Neyland Library.
Oh, let me write my check.
Actually, the Lewis and Clark Library has a savings account. When we did our remodel at the main library, we had $4 million in savings that we used that, plus we borrowed $2 million from the Montana Board of Investments. And that loan is almost paid off. And so we're ready to borrow some more. We have just over $2 million in savings again. We would like to borrow another $2 million. That leaves us with $2 million to look for. Because like the remodel, this building is going to be approximately $6 million. But the library is covering all of those fees.
You get your funds from donations?
No, we get our funds from county property taxes.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
You don't got to write a check. You already did.
You'll get another.
The checks in
the mail. Very fiscally frugal at the library. And at the end of every budget year, any unexpended funds we put into a depreciation reserve fund, which allows us to do capital improvement projects. Nice.
So I would say public libraries are uniquely structured within the Montana code. They are part of the county, but they operate independently, budgetarily through the county. So they are a county facility, but they set their own budget. Then it's approved. Anyway, there's a bunch of hoops that I wouldn't say luckily. We're lucky that the county is doing this here for us, because in other cities, it's a local municipal library, which is a whole other headache that I don't have to deal with here, but other places I do. But to their credit, a very good partnership we have here at Lewis and Clark County. So
nice.
I just want to comment the positive relationship. I think that this has helped garner. I think we had one, but it's only improved, and just appreciate John and Andrea and all that they do within the community. I just got a message today actually asking for an event space in East Helena that an organization wants to host an event, and where can they host an event for 100 people? And we don't have a place. We have two schools that maybe be a good spot, two or three. They have a facility use agreement, but is it maybe the place for a large scale event or a large fundraising event? Probably not the best space, but could work. Otherwise, within the city, we don't really have a space like that. So I think what this offers for potential economic development, but also just the benefit to our students and our families in the community would be huge. So really looking forward to this opportunity.
Well, I'm looking at your projection here too, 18 months for build out. That seems a little bit short.
That's just for the construction part of it,
you're talking construction here, not, yeah, I mean, you've got some of your preliminary stuff here that'll might take 18 months.
Right. Yeah, there's a whole section in front of that. Yeah. That's right. Good catch.
I'm set to retire in 4 years. The building will be done by then.
You can have your retirement party here. Yeah.
Well, I will move to approve the long motion that Pete read.
Perfect. Suffices.
I'll second.
I have a motion to approve the long motion Pete read in a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thanks, guys. It's been a great work with you guys, and I hope to continue this in the future. We can move forward with confidence. The council is behind this. Thank you, guys. All right. That brings me to new order of business number two, the appointment of Josh. It's French. We're going to call him B. Officer B is what we do with B, right? Yeah, Officer B. I'm going to mess that up multiple times. As you guys know, we have moved forward with the hiring process recently and can touch on all the elements of that. The successful candidate was Officer B here. And for nothing but positive things for everybody we talk to regarding it.
Hello again, everybody. So this is Josh Beesera. He is currently working in Jefferson County for hopefully not too much longer. He's been there since 2021. His duties there included patrol deputy, coroner, and school resource officer. Prior to Jefferson County, he worked at the Lewis and Clark County Detention Center as a detention officer. He was employed at the Castle Rock Police Department in Castle Rock, Colorado, as a patrol officer. The Wheat Ridge Police Department as a community service officer. The Pueblo County Detention Center in Pueblo, Colorado, as a detention officer, and spent 6 years as a security force leader in the United States Air Force. So he has a large law enforcement background. So he's very qualified in that regard. Chief Sanders and I spent quite a bit of time visiting with Josh's former employers and supervisors. He comes highly recommended. Josh has met all the requirements set by the state of Montana, which include being a citizen of the United States, being 18 years of age or older. He was fingerprinted on 6/17/2025. A search was made on local, state, and national fingerprint files to disclose any criminal record, which there was none. He has not been convicted of a crime for which they could have imprisoned him in federal or state penitentiary. He's of good moral character as determined by a background check. He is a high school graduate or equivalent in the state of Montana or by other issuing agencies other than another state or federal government. He successfully completed an oral interview and passed a thorough background check conducted by Chief Sanders and I. He is in good standing with POST. He has a current certificate from POST. He possesses a valid driver's license. He cleared a psych evaluation on 6/26. He passed a drug screening on 6/19. He passed a physical examination on 6/23 and was approved by our police commission on 6/27/25. Since Mr. Beesruth has met all the requirements set by the administrative rule of the state of Montana, Rule 2313201, we request approval from this council to hire Mr. Beesruth as a patrol officer. Any questions for me regarding the hiring process or recommendations or experience?
So for process for the council, it is they go through the hiring process, the selection committee selects a candidate, it's forwarded to the police commission. Well, the hiring commission committee reviews the candidates, selects one, then the mayor forwards their selectee, the mayor forwards them to the police commission. The police commission then reviews for the ARMs, Administrative Rules of Montana, which is all the things that Deputy Chief just read off, all those things they just check off. And then it's forward to the council to confirm for a 12-month probationary period. So you'll be seeing Josh here again in another 12 months, but he's successful with the probationary period to confirm him as a full-time officer. Moreover, seems like we got a great candidate who's post-certified, and your role is to confirm him for a 12-month probationary period at this point.
Is there any public comment on the approval of Officer Beesruth as a public probationary candidate? See no public comment. I would notice the one negative thing did pop up. The mayor of Boulder told me he would no longer ever buy me a drink if we hired him. So thanks, Josh. I really appreciate that one. Probably shouldn't do it anyways, but I'm not going to the Windsor anytime soon, I guess. So yeah. I would turn it over to the council at this point.
I'll move to approve his hiring.
Motion to approve.
Second.
And second, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you, Josh.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
We're very excited to have Josh.
Does he start tomorrow?
We're hoping 8.
Okay.
I'll take till 7.
7?
Sometime after the 4th.
Yeah.
Before the rodeo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Before the rodeo.
Oh, perfect.
Good. Like point out the clefker is in your district for the rodeo. You have the clefker.
No, I've been on a couple of calls with Josh, and he's a top notch person. He's a go getter. Loves to just work. So we have high hopes, and we're very excited to add him to the team.
Thank you.
All right. Here comes my least favorite thing of the year. As you know, we have the lighting districts in Vigilante and Highlands, and we have the street districts as well. Every year, the numbers change, and until they're full, we get to have these motions, correct, Pete?
We are. We're knocking out Vigilante this year until they move west.
Going west.
Yeah. For now, though, we're done with Vigilante.
It, they're still building houses in Vigilante, aren't they?
We'll still be having these.
I'll go through here.
Amount goes up.
Yeah.
I mean, if the amount, power company.
Yes. Well, yeah, I'll touch on that, yes.
But yeah, we'll start with the first one. This is a Highlands Meadow Lighting District 1/101. This is the resolution of intent. So this means we're going to come back and do it again next meeting. We intend to, right?
Right. So I will set the table. The next four new business items, 3, 4, 5, and 6. The first two are the lighting districts. The second two are the street maintenance districts. One before you here is Lighting District 101, which is for Highland Meadows. Sorry. They are on your desk before you. It's the same thing every year. So we have to pass a resolution of intent. Once we pass the resolution of intent, we do the same process we have been doing for each one of these phases. We were intentional in starting these districts as soon as they had phase one and those streets in place and those houses out there and taxpayers to begin accumulating the funds in the accounts. That created for us the headache of every year updating them and expanding and redoing the math, which you'll see. So what you have before you here, Resolution 620 for Lighting District 101 for Highland Meadows, which essentially just adds the new street of Sterling Loop, which is the phase four. So that is where the whole backside there that goes along the Prickly Pear Park location and all those residences. So when we do that, we talk to Northwestern Energy, actually the developers do during their process of installing the lights. They get the costs. This letter was dated February 19th, 2024. So to Don's question, yes. Once you have SIDs in place and it does not go away. We continue to work with Northwestern Energy and the Public Service Commission as far as their rates. Well, they work with the PSC to determine what it's going to cost to run these lights each year. So you should see this. It is just part of proper budgeting to include it annually to make sure that we're capturing the cost of actually having these lights on and replacing light bulbs and poles that get hit and things and the electrical cost. So this one's already outdated by a year and 3 or 4 months. But annually we just update it and we continue to approve this to cover the cost so that in Old Town, East Helena, everything else that's not in these two subdivisions, we pay out of the general fund, which if you look at our Northwestern Energy bill is substantial. These are captured by the actual folks benefiting from the lights within their subdivision. So on this one, is a total cost annually of $7,401.60. And each resident would pay $30.97 annually. So divide that by 12. So monthly it's $2 or $3. And it's just on their property tax bill as an assessment. It's not a tax. It goes directly towards the service they actually receive, kind of like a sewer or a garbage thing, except it's assessed through their property taxes. And this just captures all those folks on Sterling Loop for Lighting District 101. We'll see another one. We're hoping that these folks do the rest of the lots in phase five. I think that they are feeling good head nod from folks that they're anticipating the rest of this development being captured. So in the future, it's just taking the, instead of adding streets and adding lots to the exhibit B that you see, It would simply just be adjusting the rates at the end based upon what we get from Northwestern Energy. Any other questions? That's resolution intent 620.
Any public comment on resolution number 10620? Seeing none, council.
Move to approve resolution number 620.
Motion to approve resolution number 10, number 620.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, same speech.
A little bit different.
It's slightly different. We're going to say Vigilante in the Highland Meadows. And different street name.
So what we have here is resolution intent number 621. And I'll get now into a process that I kind of skipped over the first time. We do this, then we do the mailers, we publish in the newspaper. We kind of mirrored up that annoyingly these SIDs, lighting districts, so street maintenance districts and the lighting districts are different codes and have different notice requirements and different protest periods. Which is annoying because we do them all at the same time. So we're just doing them with the same public hearing, allowing for the 15 days of protests, which all of them have waived through the subdivision process anyway. But moreover, we will have a public hearing with the protests received on August 5th. And again, Vigilante is fully built out until they add Vigilante West, which is the chunk, if you look at Exhibit A, to the west, which makes sense. And I forget how many residents are going in there.
27.
So we'll likely just include that western portion into what we currently have as Vigilante lighting district.
You'll notice the movie greater in this one.
Kind of the right, sorry.
Movie. There's a lot more light to Vigilante.
The Vigilante to, I don't know, benefits, detriment. There's with the number of homes that Highland Meadows squeezes on all those cul-de-sacs in the frontage necessitates fewer lights and has more homes. So you're dividing an equal, as far as length of street lights, similar number of lights per length of street by more homes because their frontages are smaller. Anyway, the math is different, meaning these folks pay it quite a bit more. $9,765.24 annually, the entire district. However, because their lots are bigger and more rectangular, their cost per lot is $143.61. More lights, fewer homes. And that's the gist.
$7.
Which is substantial. Anyway.
Is there any public comment on resolution number 621? Seeing no public comment, council.
Make a motion to approve resolution 621.
Motion to approve resolution of intent number 621.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Now we have 622. We're going to talk about streets. And this is Highlands and Leagues. Highlands.
Right. So new business number five is Street Maintenance District 101, the first one in the city that we've ever done. Pretty darn proud of this achievement, is Highland Meadows. So again, they've added one large loop, which was Sterling Loop, with a bunch of new homes. So we just had to update this. We updated all the math, add all those new residences. If you recall, the difference in this one will be that the streets, when they did the PUD for this, their street widths are a little bit narrower. And there's less street, again, because of the curved roads. So why they wanted all those cul-de-sacs and why we end up with all these curvy roads. They're able to do that and put more lots accessing narrower streets and, frankly, shorter streets because their frontage is shorter. Again, to their credit, I suppose. It also is cheaper for the city to maintain long-term, and it's cheaper for their residents to pay. There's less on-street parking. There's some drawbacks, but, however, I digress. I'm trying to find the figures here. Oh, the total annual cost is going to be $70,049.28, which would be divided by all of the parcels. These are assessed uniformly throughout the entire subdivision because every single parcel in here is the same, meaning a single family home, generally three bedroom, two bath. Some are a little bit bigger, some are a little bit smaller, but they all have two-car garages with a two-car driveway, so same traffic, so we assess them all the same, which is all covered within here. And each resident will pay $293.09 annually. So divide that by 12, and but I guess they pay it semi-annually, and most of them is paid on their mortgage, but that's the cost here. Pending your questions, again, we will mail these out here in the next week or so, publicly notice them, and then have a public hearing on August 5th.
Any public comment on resolution of intent number 622? Seeing none, council.
I'll move to approve resolution 622.
Voting to approve resolution of intent number 622.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And we also
623. Finally, new business item number 6 is street maintenance district number 201, which is the Vigilante Street Maintenance District. Very similarly, although I will say on both the Vigilante ones last year, the reason we weren't able to update them because phase 3 was completed last year, because it just had not gone through the Department of Revenue and been assessed with a property taxation ID number, all those people were there and living in them. Just a staffing issue and a timing issue with the Department of Revenue up at the state, which had impacts at the local level and all kinds of impacts at the state levels. So these folks got off for a year, essentially. We are adding, I don't recall exactly, it's been 2 years since this actually went in. I think it's just the north part of Sarah Avenue was all that went in. So that is from Lizzie North. So 15 lots or so. And another length of street that we're now assessing. And again, this is for snow removal, plowing, curb and gutter maintenance, sidewalks maintenance, and then the big one is
chip sealing.
And again, that's on the figures that you see, which is on Exhibit C, is based on a hopeful plan of every seven years doing that, which will be substantially greater than what we've seen in Old Town East Helena. The annual cost is $19,254.31. And for each resident in there is actually a little bit lower, is $283.15. And again, to Councilmember Dahl's question, these will be assessed every year and should be updated. And that should be based upon the big ones are, and me and Kevin have talked about this, how much sidewalk maintenance are we actually doing? Are we having to come in and do ADA? On the Highland Meadows one, part of that is the stormwater retention stuff and the mowing and all that. And the big one on that one is the snow removal. We've had sort of light snow years, but we had budgeted within that one removing that snow and contracting for that service. And we also contract with the county for some of the chip sealing and things. So as we get those current market quotes, updating these annually so that we don't forget about it for 7 years and all of a sudden like, oh man, we haven't kept up with inflation for 7 years and now we can't afford to chip seal like we thought we were planning to. But yeah, that's the gist. That is resolution 623.
Is there any public comment on resolution of intent number 623? Seeing none, council?
I do have a question about just for future development purposes in Vigilante. Lizzie's going to continue west, that correct? And there's one parcel that's south of Lizzie that will be developed in the new development?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. Just a good refresher each year. Sorry. If you go through and look at, I mean, there's a couple towns that have really good websites that show just all their resolutions. You can kind of track it. This is a very typical accounting and budgeting feature that they just go through this time of year because there are statutory requirements on when we get these things out. And then they just roll right from this process, which is laborious when you think about all the SIDs that folks in Helena pay because they have separate SIDs for sidewalks and separate business improvement districts. And they have the parkland and all the hike. There's all kinds of stuff that they go through in preparation for the actual budget process that we do in August and September. So this is, as we continue to grow and we are going to with all that land that has been annexed, more and more just continual maintenance to ensure that folks are living on nice streets with that are well lit and safe in small town America.
You know, I got a question. It really isn't for vigilante since it's the first year, but on the other, what did the you know, we had assessed some of this last year on, did theirs, because of the added number of residences, did that stay pretty much their yearly stay pretty much the same or go down a little bit? Or I mean, does
I looked at have it.
Anybody even looked at that?
I went, go ahead.
It's pretty similar, Don. It went up just a little bit. Most of that was because of the oil prices for chip sealing and stuff, yeah, which is the biggest expense.
But I mean, it's not any big change for people from last year.
No,
I think one of them even went down
$4 a month, so it wasn't yeah much.
I think one of the lighting districts actually went yeah down.
Lighting and both went down.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I would think that they would stay somewhat the same, you know, because you're adding more in that, you know, yep, should.
That but, Sterling yeah Loop is a really long street, but there's a lot of houses front end. So no one is going to see this and like, oh my God, this is a $10, $100 increase annually, like nothing like that. It's pretty steady. Because I think we've been doing a good job because we've been forced to, because they've been coming through phase by phase. The challenge will be is not to forget that as when they're done. So in another town I work with, the SIDs sat for 50 years.
Shoot.
And they had assessed them on in Montana Code Annotated, there are separate ways that you can assess these. We've picked the simplest because luckily all these lots are the same. But when you start thinking about if we were to apply one to Old Town, where all the lots are different sizes, different garages, different types of use, and then think about letting it sit for 50 years, people were paying dramatically different rates throughout town. So when they had finally went back through and adjusted it, some people saw a substantial increase because they were underpaying, and some people saw a substantial decrease because they were overpaying. So anyway, the whipsaw effect is if you keep up on it annually, you won't have, and the public just kind of gets used to this is, we're paying for our streets to be nice, and we don't end up with the situation we are now where we're just trying to pothole each year. All right. Any other questions?
Do we approve this last one?
We have not yet.
Okay. It'd be a public comment, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Council. All right. Resolution 623.
I'll move to approve it.
I have a motion to approve the resolution of intent 623.
I'll second.
And a second. All of them in favor?
Aye.
Progressive. Yeah. That's a lot of poop.
Like, it's favorite time of year.
Yeah. It's not stuff Bing Crosby's up to now.
Let's just, I think it's going to be easy. And then each time I'm like, I got to go back and read. I got to make sure. It's
correct. All right. So this is boring.
Correct.
The mayor's report is also boring. That's, what has he been doing? We're going to budget stuff. We're getting closer on that. Obviously, our end of it, I think it's real close to done. Some factors will change that, but we'll talk about that. Just, you know, obviously, we're waiting for our property tax assessment. That's a big one. And we're still waiting on our gas tax number. So we're waiting on those two. Gas tax is kind of a little delayed. Actually, we should have that by now normally, but we don't. So we're waiting on that one. Board of Health meeting. Nothing of real note there. Did meet with the Boulder Monitor. Yesterday, Monday, and they had a interview regarding growth and all the lovely things. They went and looked at the individual from the monitor, looked at the growth statistics in the state of Montana and determined that per capita, we're the fastest growing city in the state of Montana. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's fact. So that's real. So they were interested in some stuff regarding that. You get a call. I told them that all your numbers are on there as well. The website, if you want to talk to them, if you want, also may reach out to you. So I don't know what the article's going to be up. Probably just growth in Montana. Did you get this word on the? I'm going to start changing this, the build grant, and so we're moving forward in our application, which I believe means we're on track. It's a positive thing. That's the most positive thing. Two negative things. We have it is July 1st, and we haven't heard no word in the city to reappoint. City was here last week and up there, and we've reached. I'm out of avenues. I've done everything I can. I think you got the better weekend. We'll hear what we hear, I guess. I mean, she has indicated that there is a possibility that I would say a strong possibility she expects due to no contract. So that could be have a large effect on East Town, just how we handle our remediation, our cleanup efforts. So that could be coming down the pipe for us, and be aware.
Secondarily, Kevin, I thought I was going to touch on his report, but he didn't. I don't know if you guys were aware. I spoke to some of you. The Tri-County landfill and the garbage services has and is experiencing a change of ownership. So, what those effects are on East Helena, we don't know yet. But of note, we dispose of our garbage there. We have a contract with them, so they're being bought out by the Republic out of Missoula. I don't think they're bigger than Missoula, but they definitely have a large influence in Missoula. And no, wouldn't count on us borrowing any garbage trucks anytime soon. That's what they take over. So August 1, that one, or August 30th.
August 31st.
So that's when that takes place. That Board of Health came to me with that, and they're like, "Well, we got a application for a landfill transfer." I'm like, "Well, you don't have a landfill in your county." They're like, "Really? That one to Jefferson County's because it's just over the line."
Yeah.
They're like, "That saved us a lot of work." And so, but anyway, I think that you can expect some implications for the city in the future with that. So be aware that that will happen. But in that, we've had two in-depth meetings regarding future sewer plant stuff. And that train is going to start leaving the tracks. You guys be on the lookout for some lots of stuff for that, for the future sewer plant stuff, because we've kept you in a loop with where I want to go or going. But that is, Kevin, you might want to jump in here. That one is coming up big time.
Yeah, so we'll have I can schedule wise. So second next coming up meeting, we'll have a presentation just kind of looking at options and kind of the direction we're recommending that the council goes as far as types of plants. And then the first meeting in August, the August 5th, we will start discussing rates and costs and all of those things. But we're
Icky
at
stuff.
the point that we have to start moving forward and figuring out what we have to do. So, yeah.
That's it for me. So, any questions? Cool. Council reports. Councilmember Dahl.
Let's see. I was invited to the Hauser Dam OSHA safety recognition, and which is pretty good. And got a tour of the dam powerhouse. Other than the stairs, it was a great deal. Damn, a lot of stairs going down the bottom and coming back up.
Need an elevator
No, yeah, they do. The other
that
thing I found out was Howard Scriram retired or was retiring the last week of June. So
Oh.
he's been with Montana Power for 45 or 48 years in the public relations. So
Is that the one up
anyway,
there
that was kind of
too?
his go get a, we'll see you party too. So.
Yeah, Howard reached out to everybody. Howard has had that job on lock for
And
like
he
5 years.
remembered names and
Yeah,
everything. It's just scary.
he was a party planner by nature, I think. He just planned parties for the power company.
Yeah.
Councilor Leland.
I have nothing to report.
Councilor Feist.
We did have a Montana Opioid Abatement Trust meeting, reviewed four applications, didn't make a decision at the time. It's kind of in the process to let them soak in. So we're meeting on Thursday remotely to make decisions. I don't remember the exact amount of money, but there's about $490,000 left for the year to award. We're starting this year, excuse me, not left. So starting with fiscal year 25, it's kind of on a calendar year, but because of the delays in that process statewide, we're kind of running it on a fiscal year. So anyway, we have four applications to look into. Some that will focus on youth. The prevention of opioid use. And so we'll see what comes of that when the vote happens. But good things moving forward within the community. Did have a chamber board meeting. Just always nice when the City of Helena and Helena Public Schools and City of East Helena and East Helena Public Schools are always there. And I feel like we typically have good messages to provide. And I don't know that everybody else in that boat can say the same. So just proud of our school district and Board Chair Walter and Superintendent Rispin and all that they do, and as well as the City of East Helena. So it was great. Visited with Pete about a couple of things and hope to maybe move forward on some items in the near future. And then event space was brought up, and I just think the library brings up a good point of what that could bring to the community, just hosting event space. So Okay.
Thank you, Wes. Councilmember Ferguson is excused. That brings us to Pete.
We did have the meetings that was mentioned with the engineers on the development wastewater capacity and how we coordinate and communicate with these folks. And I think we're at the point where we just need to be real honest. We have 89 EDUs and we have hundreds of homes seeking to be built. So the OLDCN options coming forward. It's just my intent to, from the city's perspective, to want to be a good partner, but also lay it on like, this is where we're at. And this is the soonest that we could possibly start to facilitate certain requests, and it's first come, first serve. And this is a tentative plan that is not totally within our control. We have to go to DEQ, we have bidding, we have contractors actually constructing things. We will, we have the public to hear through public hearing processes. So anyway, but we're getting to the point where they're actually starting to do some preliminary applications and informing us of their intent, and we are informing them of our current capabilities. So we had a couple of discussions with the engineers on that, and it is my thought to be as forthright as possible at the front end as early as possible so that they can plan accordingly, so that they're not later having some misunderstanding as to what we have informed them that we are capable of accommodating. So again, 89 today, and those get nibbled away on things like ADUs and other things. And there's some ability within that to maybe re-rate some of the flows from brand new developments and things to buy us some more EDUs to maybe accommodate some smaller projects initially. But when we're starting to talk about hundreds and then future thousands, there are some limitations within the current facility. And also the current facility is dated and also reaching its life expectancy. And so we're going to
say exceeded.
Exceeded, yeah. So we have pushed that thing to its limits, so we're going to have to rebuild it. Just to take what it currently handles from current residents who have been paying for that facility, there is a need just to build a new plant, just to maintain current loads. And while doing that, we're going to increase the capacity to capture the expected and requested additional loads. So that's a fun discussion. Garbage truck and the transfer, I think, just really brings to light that we did a rate study on garbage 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago now, and took no movement from that. And I think at that time we looked at $300,000 to $400,000 garbage trucks. Our garbage truck has continued over that time period to age, and there's a lot of, I'm not going to name it correctly, but a lot of what's the
moving components,
hydraulics that go out constantly, and it's not just ours, but ours is especially aged, and that lifeline that we've had is dissipating. So I think the last time we had a solid waste rate increase was 90s, early 90s, 1994. We have in the last budget, I believe, put some money away. I think there's more money in this one, but that's becoming a reality. Court has been going great. And then the police department's been doing awesome. Lots of traffic stuff and very active officers who are engaging with the public and giving warnings when appropriate. I think the library discussion is important. I'm happy to see that moving forward. And having just you guys approve that today. And I just want to clip, I guess, I've been talking a lot. So my hope is I was clear that when I said that the intent is that that's a donation to another public entity that's going to serve the public with the remuneration of improving the parking lot. And then finally, I am prosecuting a case for the city of Helena on an assault charge. And I have a jury confirmation for that tomorrow, and we'll likely end up doing a jury trial sometime in July or August on that. And that's it.
Thank you, Pete. Well, we reached that time of the night where we pay the bills. If I only knew how we could go about it.
How will we pay the bills?
We have a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. We beat 8 o'clock. I will during this meeting at 7:54.
I was trying.
I did not think we'd make